Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I believe that tonight is a night of breakthrough. Who's come here expecting a miracle? Because I have, and if you haven't, that's okay. You can adjust your heart and go, Lord, I'm ready for all that you have for me. You know, I'm so honoured to be here. As Hannah mentioned, I'm from Planet Shakers Church in Melbourne. It's my first time in the Shire, and I just celebrated 1 year of marriage, which is a testimony in itself. But I got a lesson for you. Ladies, if you're praying for a husband, maybe pray that he has a surname that's easy to pronounce. I went from Esther Andrew, pretty easy, to Esther Witbroek. How do you even spell that? Trust me, I spell it at least 3 times a day at banks, at the coffee place, when I'm trying to log into things. But God is good. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to share to you tonight around this word that God has just been putting on my heart. And I want to read some scripture for you tonight. But before we do that, I would just love to pray. Why don't you lift your hands? Father, we thank you that you're such a good God. Father, we thank you that you are our ever-present help in time of need. We thank you, Father, that you're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of miracles. You're the God that operates even in the 11th hour. And tonight we pull a chair up to your table. And Father, we're asking you, would you let your spirit brood in this place? Holy Spirit, we're asking you, would you bring this word to life? Would it be, as your word says, sharper than a double-edged sword? And Father, we're expecting the miraculous. Father, in fact, we lift our hands in praise to you in advance for the healings that are about to take place, for the word in season that you're about to release in our heart. And Father, we declare that you would receive all of the praise and all of the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Sorry, media team, I'm tricking you. Different scripture first. Matthew 8, 27. I was reading this morning when I was at home and it just struck a chord in me. Matthew says that these men, this is when Jesus was out on the boat. He was out in the middle of the storm with the disciples. It says the men were amazed and asked, who is this Jesus? Even the winds and waves obey him. And there's this phrase that I just can't shake. And I believe that it's a word for you tonight. Who is this Jesus? And church, I want to ask you tonight, who is this Jesus that you've come to encounter tonight? Maybe you've come to encounter this Jesus who provides. Maybe you've come into an encounter this Jesus who heals. Or maybe you don't even know this Jesus. Well, friends, you are in the right place because this Jesus is ready to meet with each and every one of us right where we're at. This Jesus we talk about has all authority. This Jesus has the power over this world and the worlds to come. This Jesus, he's the one that meets me when I'm on my deathbed and heals me. This Jesus is the one when I've got nothing left, shows me that I still have everything that I need. Tonight I've come to meet with this Jesus. Give me a wave if you'd like to encounter this Jesus tonight. You see, the beautiful thing about this Jesus, he's no respecter of position or title. He's no respecter of what your past or your present looks like. You see, this Jesus has a heart to win each and every one of us. And friend, all you need to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, I'm ready for all that you have for me. You see, I want to read from the book of Luke chapter 5. This is the story of the first disciples. In verse 1 it says, now it happened that while Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, or however you say it, by the Sea of the Galilee, these Bible words are so hard, right? With the people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, Jesus saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had already got out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to pull out a little distance from the shore. When he sat down, he began teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish. Simon replied, Master, we've worked all night, even to the point of exhaustion, and caught nothing in our nets. But at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled their boats with fish so that they too began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus is not a respecter of your past or your present. He wants to meet each and every one of us. For he and all his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon Peter. I love this. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear, for from now on you will be catching men." And they brought their boats to land and left everything they had and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing in him and trusting and following his example. You see, the thing about this story, friends, is the catch of fish that these men didn't catch that night, that was their livelihood. It wasn't just two men out having hobby time. They weren't just seeing who could catch the biggest snapper. No, this was what they did day in, day out. This fish, this catch of fish is what they relied on to feed their families, to go home. They would then take the fish and sell it in the marketplace, and the money from that sale would then feed them. They needed a miracle. They went out and they came back with nothing. That was unusual. Yet here comes Jesus and he's got the audacity to say, "I know you've been out all night, but just go out one more time." They're meant to fish in the evening time. That's the better time to catch the fish. Yet Jesus is saying, "Let's go against the odds in broad daylight. Go out and you're going to catch something so great that's going to leave you astounded." You see, what I love is in verse 4, Jesus says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish.'" Jesus wants to break through tonight, but I believe that he's giving us a key right here. Jesus is saying, go out into the deep. Friends, Jesus is calling you and I to go into deep waters with him tonight, to leave the comfort of the shore, to leave the comfort of our normal surroundings of what we know. And some of us have come in here wanting breakthrough tonight, but we're just willing to do what we always do. We're just willing to maybe come to the front, clap and praise in praise and worship, maybe lift our hands halfway in worship. But Jesus is saying to these men, you need to go out into the deep. Friends, that's uncomfortable. That's away from the shore. But maybe it was just the key for their breakthrough. And friends, tonight God is calling each and every one of us to go deeper. To go deeper in our relationship with him. To leave the shore. To go into the unknown. It's going to look different for each and every one of us. But God is calling us to go into the deep. Would you say the deep? You see, the unfortunate thing about our generation, I'll own up to this, is we want everything like that. We have microwaves that heat things in 30 seconds. Man, I get annoyed if my Uber driver is more than 30 seconds late. If my Amazon Prime order comes a day later than expected, I'm tempted to write a complaint email because I've been raised in this generation that wants things instantly. But church, the Bible says that there is a reward for those that would diligently seek him. And what Jesus is asking these men to do is to come out and toil with him a little longer. You see, this instant generation, it's good on one hand, but it cripples us. It takes us away from that precious relationship we have with Jesus when we need to walk through seasons with him, when we need to wait on the Lord, where we need to get in God's face, like the Bible says, to ask, seek, and knock. Not just one time, because the next scripture says to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking. This is what God is asking us to do when he says, "Would you come out deeper with me? Would you come out into the unknown? Because maybe, just maybe, this time your breakthrough is at the other end of that." And I believe that there is healing in this house tonight. Some of you have been carrying diseases and ailments, and you're like, "I don't even know if I want to go up for prayer again. Nothing happened last time. How come this time's going to be different?" But maybe this is that tipping point. Maybe this is the time where you step over, and it's that point where you ask and keep on asking, and now you're going to see. There's healing for you tonight. God is calling us to get out of our normal, out of our comfort zones, and position ourselves for breakthrough. Verse 5, it says, Simon replied, "Master, we have worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion. Who's ever felt a little exhausted in this place? I know I certainly have. And we've caught nothing in our nets. This sounds to me like a disappointed, exhausted man. Lord, we've worked hard. Lord, we did everything we know to do. Lord, we did everything we're supposed to do. We've come back tired and our hands are empty. But at your word, I will do as you say and I will lower the nets again. What do you do when you're at the point of exhaustion? Because I'm sure that these fishermen wanted just to go home, wanted to have a little pity party. We didn't catch anything. Let's just go and rest. Maybe we'll try again tomorrow. Maybe we won't. But friends, can I be so real with you that that point of exhaustion, unfortunately, is a part of our story sometimes. It doesn't have to be, but the way that our world is, it does get exhausting. But sometimes that's the life of faith. Because if it were just easy, if it just came like that, and I know that it can, but if we don't have to toy with the Lord sometimes, we don't really appreciate the reward that it is when we step into that miracle. What do you do when you're at that point of exhaustion? Can I tell you that you're in the right place? Can I tell you that you've come to this right place, the house of the Lord, and the Father, He wants to refresh you tonight. I want you to know that you are not alone. I love the worship song we sung tonight, that this is how I fight my battles. When you're at that point of exhaustion, two hands raised, that is how you fight that battle. You know, I want to share with you a bit about my story. When I was 15, I was very unwell. I was at a Planet Shakers conference, actually, and I passed out, and my youth leader took me home to my parents, and that began this journey I would go on for 13 years of sickness, of disease. Really, it was of experiences that I would never wish upon anybody else. But what happened after this moment that I had was I was diagnosed with this incurable blood disease. They did all kinds of tests on me just as a young teenager. I was stayed weeks on end in hospital. I experienced doctor's report after doctor's report, and to be honest, each report just got worse and worse. It started with an iron deficiency. Then it started with maybe it's your cells, maybe it's actually just an infection that's causing it. And this began to snowball into your DNA is mutated. There's something in the very core of your being, Esther, that's causing your blood to reproduce itself in an unhealthy way. I was given a death sentence. My doctor said at the age of 15 years old, I would be surprised if you lived another 5 years. Can you imagine what that's like to hear as a 15-year-old? I had dreams. I'm a dreamer. I had dreams to live a life in ministry. And I knew that a life of ministry is going to require a lot of energy from me, but I was stuck in a bed. I would then go on this journey of treatment and trials. I did every drug trial that you could imagine. I got really good at needles. That's another story. And I had to get a word from the Lord because something just didn't add up in this story. I was given a life expectancy of 20 years old, right? Yet I had dreams of being a mother. I had dreams of being a pastor. I had dreams of living to be a grandmother. So it didn't line up. The vision that God had given me for my life didn't line up with what the doctor had said. So I knew that God was up to something. At that time, I didn't know what it meant to really stand upon the word of God. So I stood upon a vision. I stood upon a dream. And God began to say to me, come deeper, come deeper. Every time I would get these test results for 13 years, it got worse and worse. I remember getting prayed for time and time again, thinking this is the time, this is the one. Then getting into that specialist room and saying, no, sorry, it's got worse. What do you do when you're at that point of exhaustion? What do you do when you have nothing left? When doctors can't help you, treatment doesn't fix, there's nothing I can buy to help. All I had, friends, was Jesus. So I decided I've got to go deeper. And I began to find out that this Jesus that is in the Bible has to be a Jesus that is a reality in my life. I began to read stories like the woman of the issue of blood. If this Jesus all those years ago could heal her, then this Jesus must be the Jesus that I believe in. This Jesus must be the Jesus that I can stand with 2 feet on and say, God, I know that you're going to heal me. But if I can be real with you, there's valleys along the journey. But I found that if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, He is everything that you need. I had to come to a place where I was convicted by the Word of God, that I was convinced by what the Word of God says, and that that was my truth. You see, what I love is that the next part of this scripture in verse 5, it says that on the grounds of your word, I will let down the nets again. On the grounds of your word. They had nothing else, these fishermen, but this Jesus that they just met who says, go out again. And they, something about them, they must have known who he was. They must have heard a story to say, on the grounds of your word, why his word? What was so special about him? Did they know that this Jesus was a miracle working God? Did he know that he was the Son of God? This Jesus gave them a word to go out, and they did. And what happened? They brought in a haul of fish that was so great that they needed all their partners to come and help carry it. You see, there is a breakthrough coming for you that's going to be so big that you can't contain it on your own. If you would stand upon the Word of God, He is going to break through in your life. It's going to reach to your family. It's going to reach to your colleagues. It's going to reach to your classmates. You see, when we walk through things, I've come to know that it is to bring God glory. It is to bring Him praise. And it can't just stay inside of me. I've got to take people on the journey so that they can stand and see that this Jesus that I talk about, He's not just in my head. He's not just in my heart, but He lives in me. He moves through me. And if He did it then, He's going to do it again tonight. We have to be convinced about what the Word of God says. So on this journey that I went through, I began to gather scriptures. I did a Google search, friends, because I'm that special, I'm that educated. I go to Google and I say scriptures on healing, and I begin to write them down. Over and over and over again, I begin to get out my journal and write down the scriptures of healing. And there's this one that I landed on. I was facing a big test. I was facing a big thing. And I said, God, I don't just need a word. I need a weapon. I don't want just this word that you're my healer. No, I need something that is right for me. And I landed on Psalm 118, verse 17. It says, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell of what the Lord has done. And this just wasn't a scripture. This became a sword that every time the enemy would come and taunt me, every time that doubt would come, I would go, no, this Jesus has given me His word. I will not die, but I will live to tell of what the Lord has done. And friends, I am so excited to tell you that 2 years ago, I got a phone call from my specialist. I even have her on my contacts because we're that close. And it was a Thursday afternoon, just a normal day. And I'm sitting in my office and I see her number come up. And my heart races because I know all too well how this has gone. I believe that something has happened. But my past experience would dictate that I'm about to get disappointed. But friends, it's different. Even though we've been disappointed, we've got to lift our faith. And as Dr. Susan rang, she says, because she knows that I'm a believer, she knows about this Jesus. And she says, Esther, you will never believe it. I'm going to use your words today. You've got a miracle. She said, I can't explain it. We've retested again and again, but every blood level is completely healed. Your DNA is perfect. It's like nothing has ever happened. And you know what she said to me? Enjoy a long life. Enjoy a long life. I will live and I will not die. And I will tell of what the Lord has done. Church, you need to take the Word of God and use it like a weapon. You need to take that word and point it at the enemy and remind him just who this Jesus is, just who my God is. I will not die, but I will live to tell of what the Lord has done. And I don't know what you came here for tonight, but this Jesus is here for you. We have to develop this posture of faith. We got to take this word of God and continually declare it over ourselves. Declare it over your family. Declare it over your marriage. Declare it over your finances. Because if we really believe that this word is alive, we should expect to see it active in our lives. Your words have power. Friends, what are you coming into agreement with? Because as I began to hear these stories, these test results, I'm under my breath, I would say, I honor you. But I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I get in my car and I begin to be convinced by that word of God again. I put on that praise song that says, I have joy in despite what I'm facing. And friends, we've got to be convinced and truly believe what the word of God says. You see, then we've got to take it one step further, not just declare it with our mouth, but the Bible says that we should have it etched on our heart. We meditate on the word of God day and night. We get it in our spirits. We get it inside of us so that when we dream in the night, it's about the Lord. When we're waking up in the morning, that is our first response. When you get frightened in the day, the word of God is your first response. It's your autopilot. The word of God must be in and who we are. On the grounds of your word, I will go out again. Friends, I don't know if you felt like giving up in this place. But, you know, I tell you this story, but in the midst of my own health battle, fighting for my own life, my dad begins to go through this journey. My dad gets diagnosed with cancer when I'm 18 years old. How do you believe when you're faced with something that's scary or threatening in your own life and then suddenly the one that's closest to you gets a diagnosis as well? It's like one knockdown and then another knockdown. You see, my dad was a man of faith and I was a daddy's girl. Is there any daddy's girls in this place? He had him around my finger. Anyway, so I'm on this faith journey myself, right? And I finally start to believe what God says. And then my dad gets sick and my faith gets tested again. Have you ever had that moment where you've gone through something and you're finally like, yes, I'm getting there, just to be knocked down again? And I remember these moments where the enemy would begin to come and lie and say, you're going to end up just like your dad. Your sickness is going to end up like your dad's. And my family would go on this journey for 18 months where we believed with all that we had that God would heal my dad, but he didn't. What do you do when the very thing that you were believing for is laying dead in front of you? How do you continue to believe for yourself where I still needed a healing? Yet I put all of my faith in God. I put everything that I had. I prayed, I fasted, we took communion every day as a family, yet I didn't see the healing here on earth. How do you then pick yourself up, friends, and continue to believe for that same thing in your own life? The Bible says, on the grounds of your word, I will go out again. And for my family, it was this battle that just kept going on and this cycle that kept going, but all we had was the word of God. All we had was what the scripture said. And friends, I don't know who's in this place, and maybe you can relate with how I felt. I know what it's like to feel exhausted. I know what it's like to feel beaten by the battle, but I know what it's like to stand upon the word of God and see this Jesus break through in my life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, this is where Sarah and Abraham are believing for a child. It says, and Abraham and Sarah were already old and well along in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, can I really bear a child when I am old? And this is the clincher, friends. It says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son. This is what the Lord has said about himself. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No matter what your circumstances, is anything too hard for the Lord? The bills might be piling up this tall. The reports may look like this, but is anything too hard for the Lord? And friends, the answer is no, it's not. It is not too hard for the Lord. In fact, the Lord is ready to move. The Lord is looking for a generation of people that will knock and keep on knocking, who will knock and keep on knocking, who will seek and keep on seeking until they see the Lord moving in the land of the living. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is who He says He is. And He's ready to move in your life tonight. You know, I remember something so precious to me about this journey that I went on. You got to get people around you who are people of faith. You got to get people who will stand with you when you've forgotten how to worship, or maybe you don't want to worship because I've been there. You got to get people around you who will keep believing on behalf of you when you can't believe anymore. And there's this beautiful friend of mine, Noelle, and she asked the Lord for a word for me. He gave her a scripture. She got it laser printed on this piece of wood and she gave it to me. And you know what it was? Psalm 118. I will not die, but I will live to tell of what the Lord has done. And I put it up, I remember, in my bedroom, and it was a marker. Every day when I went out, I will not die, but I will live. We've got to surround ourselves with people that are going to build us up. We've got to silence the voice of the naysayers and the doubters. Silence the voice of the enemy. When the enemy's speaking louder, just turn your praise up. Just lift up your worship even louder. I love being in a church like this because in praise and worship, I can't help but be drawn into His presence and say, God, no matter what I'm facing, I'm going with You, because this presence that You give us, it is so glorious, it is so beautiful. And when I truly let myself come into the presence of God, nothing else matters. You see, I kept this plank of wood for years. And at our women's conference this year, this beautiful older woman in our church, her name is Aman, she came up to me and she said, I'm facing an incurable blood disease. And I know your testimony. Will you pray for me? And I did. I faithfully prayed. And when I got home that night, I felt God say, give her that piece of wood. So I wrapped it up. And I had this picture as if I had heavenly perspective, and it felt like my testimony. This plank of wood was now a baton that I could pass on to the next person. And it was as if to say, Iman, if He did it for me, He's going to do it for you. And I handed this baton to her and said, put it on your wall and look at it every time you go out the door and say, I will not live, I will not die, but I will live to see and to tell of what the Lord has done. And tonight, friends, I want to pass you a baton that says that He is a God of breakthrough, that says He is a God who is our provider, He is our Savior, He is more than enough. And don't you dare back down, don't you dare give up on what the Lord is doing in your life. But this is the time to rise up, to lift your hands and to say, He is who He says He is. This Jesus, He is alive and He is here today. And I believe that Jesus wants to move. Perhaps you're right in the middle of the journey. Perhaps you're right in the middle of that moment. But tonight, if you would open up your heart, I believe He wants to pour out faith tonight. He wants to give you the hope to believe again. Just like Peter and John, on the grounds of your word, I will go out again. God is putting out the call to you, Horizon Church, to go out again. Maybe you've been believing for the salvation of that family member for years and years. Would you go out again and say, God, on the grounds of your word, You said that every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is here. Can you feel Him? I don't know where you come from tonight, but Jesus is ready. You know, He gives us a key for every season, and I'll finish with this. I remember the Sunday after my dad had passed away. It's really hard to go to church when you had been declaring for 18 months that He's going to do it, He's going to do it, He's going to do it, and then He did it in a way you didn't think. It's really hard to pull yourself back together. Even as a pastor, it's a really humbling thing to pull yourself together and to walk into church and lift your hands and say, you're still good. And I remember my urban life coach, she's like a small group connect leader, She met me at the door and she walked me in and we sat on the side and I remember standing in worship, tears streaming down my face, just standing there. I didn't know what to do. And she whispered into my ear and she said, "Hey, the enemy has the victory if you stand like that. But God gets all the glory if you would just lift up your hands. God gets all the glory. This is how you win this battle. If you would just lift two hands and say, 'God, I praise you.'" Even if you can't get words out today, take up the posture of faith that says, "God, I worship you. Even though I don't understand, even though I can't comprehend it, even though I'm still hurting, I lift two hands and I say, 'God, you are good. God, you are faithful.'" And so, church, I want to invite you tonight. Why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you lift up those two hands? Because the victory is won when you lift your hands and worship. The victory is won. This is how we win this battle. This is how we take territory from the enemy that says no matter what comes, hell or high water, nothing can stop me from worshiping our God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.